The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good y'all. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 8th of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. Since it's obviously election time and everybody putting their name in the hat, I have to give y'all my real name because I realize sometimes y'all don't know what to call me, like when y'all filling out nomination forms and things like that. You just don't know what to call me because I'm the problem guy here, but I'm Junkanoo Green, right? And I don't want to be a slave Green because World War III looks like it's about to start. You wouldn't know what to put on the nomination form to nominate me. So today I'm returning to my government name. Welcome to On the Clock with Aaron Green. And joining me this morning is Crystal Darling Sergeant. Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning, Aaron.
How you do?
I'm good.
You got your voter's card?
Where is that?
Oh, boy.
Where is that?
Well, don't worry. Apparently, you don't need it yet.
I've actually moved since the last
time. Oh, so you need it?
Yeah, I know.
You need to go in.
Ooh.
You need to go in and register a transfer of address, the new constituency that you are likely to be in. Again, the Boundaries Commission report was tabled. It hasn't been passed yet, but with a supermajority, I don't expect to see any actual changes. So for people who have moved since they last voted, you need to go to the Parliamentary Registration Department's website to determine where the registration and verification stations are located, right? Start at the website. If you are unclear with the information that's available on the website, then go to their social media pages because sometimes these people be paying more attention to social media than the actual website. But PRD website is actually a really decent website. Mm-hmm. Go to the website, identify the verification or registration station nearest you or most convenient for you to access, and go in and ensure that your documentation is up to date, right? If you have proof of location, of residency, take it with you. If you don't, I think we got an article about it. It's going to be interesting. But before we get into the stories for the day, a little housekeeping. Again, the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will competition is running. Our T-shirt and magazine recycling program is still running. Hannah Hasty Tynes family, we're still gearing up for our Thursday meeting, last Thursday of the month, the 29th of January. Venue to be announced. Stay tuned. All of those things are still happening. Now, on to our, oh wait, tomorrow I'm going to have a giveaway. Just one prize, one trivia question, one prize. Leading into the majority rule weekend. We got majority rule holiday coming up. And now to our daily dose of positive. Another story from the Receive Financial Aid for College. This was in yesterday's Nassau Guardian. Over 70 public school students will receive financial assistance from the Public School Scholars Program as they seek a tertiary level education. The program is now in its 10th year, has helped over 1,000 Bahamian public school students. Former Minister of Education Jerome Fitzgerald, who helped to launch the program, said many students from the program were the first in their families to attend college. Quote, of those students, approximately 75% were the first in their families to attend college, a significant and startling accomplishment, Fitzgerald said during the 2025 recognition ceremony. Initiative started in 2015. Scholarships range from $10,000 to $15,000 per academic year for a maximum of 4 years. Recipients included students from C.V. Bethel Sr., Doris Johnson Sr., C.C. Sweeting Sr., Anatole Rogers High School, C.R. Walker Sr., Government High, R.M. Bailey Sr. High, all schools on New Providence, students from 8 Mile Rock High School, St. George's High School, L.N. Coakley, Moores Island All-Age School, NGM Major High School, and South Andrews High School also received the scholarship. Minister of Education, Technical Vocational Training, Glennis Hannah-Martin said, the key to a good education starts at the foundation. There you go. So that is our daily dose of positive. We say congratulations to the students that achieved, right? Achieved the criteria for the scholarship. Mm-hmm. And we say to the state, this is a program that we love. Yeah. This is a program that we love. We are prepared to support it. We understand the diverting of tax dollars for this purpose. Yeah. I think we job and perform, then we will do our job and support them. I think we all agree in this allocation of national resources. I think it's important for the government to highlight continuously, repeatedly, and overwhelm us, inundate us with this information so we can understand how our tax dollars are being spent.
Yeah, I think it also should be a breakdown. I'm always advocating for like a breakdown where we can really see everything, how the money is spent, where it's being spent, the name of, you know, the different departments, where it's going. It inspires more confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing to do in this. This is not like a huge, huge initiative. So I think it's doable here. Mm-hmm. And I think for even if the smaller initiatives, especially when it comes down to education and healthcare, which are, I think, two of like the strongest pillars of a society, right? That's mm-hmm. the foundation. We could see a little bit more transparency there. And that would give people a little bit more confidence and trust in the government.
In
so
state,
that's my recommendation.
In the state, the administration, state mechanisms. That's interesting, right? So your word for yesterday was consideration.
Yes.
I imagine your word for today is confidence. I like that. In yesterday's Nassau Guardian poll, which you can participate in online, producer, let's prep this. Oh, caller, where you gone? You was right there. I was getting ready to come to you. Call back. In fact, anybody could call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720, toll free for Family Island listeners. Hey, Mayor Guana. Mayor Guana. Y'all give us a... It's a big story in today's paper, and I think it also ties into our election conversation as well. But confidence, in yesterday's Nassau Guardian poll, the question asked was, what should be the primary goal of changes recommended in the new constituency boundaries report? The three options: fair distribution of voters across constituencies, right? So that means that you have like parity, like you have roughly the same amount of voters in each constituency. Right? Or B, improved geographic representation, especially for family islands. Mm-hmm. So is the purpose of changing the boundaries to to create a representation model that gives the residents of those constituencies greater access to cabinet and the parliament where the decisions are made, possibly. C, ensuring public trust and confidence in the upcoming general election. So, to your word confidence, right? The
voter confidence.
Publication of state financial decisions, publishing it in an accessible way. So even though it will take a lot of time and work, the average citizen could sit down and read it and get a sense of how money has been spent, not how it's going to be spent.
But Aaron, this is already done. Like you're doing an initiative, then that's already, that information is already somewhere. Now the work is just to transfer it
in an accessible way
and also in a way that doesn't really, I don't know, that still protects the institution from, you know, whatever background stuff they would like to keep confidential.
The two things, and stay right in the mic, the two, right? What we get is a budget. We don't get how the money was actually spent.
The breakdown.
No, the budget is how we plan on spending it.
Yes.
What we want is the how was it actually spent. For instance, right?
Yeah.
2023, going into 2024, after the tragic death of Obie Wilchcombe, MP, cabinet minister, there was a memorial held for Obie Wilchcombe in Grand Bahama. Mm. And then there was a second memorial held for Obie Wilchcombe at Bahama, right? By government departments, agencies, right? I don't know if they took it on their own to organize it or what. What I do know is that a total of $30,000 was extracted from the social services budget. $25,000 coming from the Persons with Disabilities Commission, and another $5,000 coming from another agency within the ministry, right? So here's what happens. With a budget, if you don't spend the money, right? Like, if you don't spend the money that was allocated to you, you're supposed to tell them why you didn't spend it. Because what they will say is, well, if you didn't spend it, you must not need it, so we won't allocate it in this next cycle. So agencies have spent, how they spent the money, why they made the decisions they made. Mm-hmm. So to justify the new, but also to justify the new budget they want, right? What we get is a budget. We don't get a breakdown of how the money was actually spent. That information may be available, but that doesn't mean it's may exist.
Exists.
But that doesn't mean it's accessible by the general public, and it doesn't mean it's accessible in a coherent or cogent way that then makes it easily accessible, easy to read, easy to understand, easy to put together, right? The two separate things.
Yes, yeah.
Those but are
that's that's what I meant when I said, you know, releasing it in a way
that's where accessible.
Not just accessible, but where you keep, you know, the nitty gritty stuff and the technical breakdown.
There is no.
But there is no a releasable form that is targeted for the public.
There
public
is
consumption
nothing,
and understanding.
But Crystal, there's nothing here outside of Ministry of National Security, right? Mm-hmm. Ministry of National Security, maybe Ministry of Foreign Affairs. There's nothing that we can't know. Maybe Attorney General's Office in Legal Affairs, in terms of, like, you could tell us how much money you spend on, how much money each individual location receives to operate. I don't need to know what they're called. I don't necessarily need to know where they're located.
But
I need to know how much money was allocated and how much money was actually spent, right? So there are national security and a sort of confidentiality considerations. But all of this is supposed to be accessible by the public. Mm-hmm. It's our money. There's nothing that they should be hiding from us. And I got a great text here. Good morning, Aaron. Can you talk about the Bahamas is one of the only countries in the Western Hemisphere that doesn't have a fixed date for election? That has to change. This is something that was brought up Future of Democracy Conference 4, Don Sargent's presentation along. I think a couple of other people touched on it, right? But there are a couple of things here. So maybe talk about confidence and what creates confidence and trust. A fixed election date would create confidence and trust. Campaign finance reform would lend to build confidence and trust. Static boundaries. Static boundaries may build confidence and trust.
What do you mean by static boundaries?
Boundaries that don't move. But let's stick.
Okay.
We got a caller, so, producer. Let's prep the caller. So, caller, we can come to you.
Yeah.
We can okay. Hey, caller. Morning. Caller, you still there?
Hello.
Hi, good morning, caller.
Good morning to both of you. That's
good
Aaron
morning.
And Crystal, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Aaron, you know, we seem to have been practicing something where we are naming constituencies after honorable apostles. Now, I used to be a student of the Bible, but I can remember the third commandment says that the Lord will consider, will not consider.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that we are naming churches after apostles. Well, that seemed to be an honorable thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when we decide to take apostles' names and name it after these dirty constituencies,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's mocking God or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe because we do this, we're getting the wrath of God on this country because of maybe practicing naming honorable apostles' name after these constituencies.
It's very interesting. I wonder why the choice of name, it's right, like it's religious rhetoric. Mm-hmm. I think they're so trapped in it that they're unaware of doing it and the implications of doing it. They'd use God for anything at any time.
Yeah.
To excuse, to justify, to obfuscate, you know, that's to confuse, like put up a little cloud here so they ain't looking over here and they can look over there. They will use God for anything except their own salvation.
Yeah, so you see, when it's done mockingly or trivializing the sacred figures that I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
right, it's inappropriate and it can really be borderline blasphemous.
Mm-hmm. For people
as a result,
of the faith.
The Bahamas may be getting the results we are getting because we're not uplifting the St. Peter, Paul, about now we got James. Come on, man.
Like,
we need to really think deep about what we're doing to ourselves.
I love the imagery, right? I don't think God is that engaged. When I say that, right? Like, he ain't, oh, look at them doing A so I can get them B. They deserve it. But I think it's our own behavior that perpetuates the lack of nice things, right? Like, we don't want nice things. If we did, we would behave differently.
I see your point, Aaron. But what I'm saying
is
we are under... See, this has been set in scriptures, and the results will follow. I don't think God just looking at everyone and say that. This has already been programmed to come upon you when you blaspheme.
I appreciate what you're saying. For people of faith, people who not just read the Bible, but read the Bible, that... This is the visiting upon of our sins, upon us. Yeah, I feel you.
You, Aaron, you know I love you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I appreciate what you're saying because this morning when yesterday and this morning driving past Christie Park, oh boy. First of all, I want to know, who's the Christie the Park name after? Y'all named that after Perry Christie? Because I could get a sense of why it looked that way because I understand how y'all feel about him. You don't have any respect for him, nor the office, nor the park.
You
want right?
to go back to the boxing beat, just conversation.
But no, just quickly, driving past Christie Park, right? The exterior boundary between the road and the wall mm-hmm. into the park has become a commercial. Just quickly,
and Valentine's Day coming up, y'all.
Producer, like, let's prep this next caller.
Observe.
Caller, coming to you in a second. It's become a commercial zone,
mm-hmm.
and the trash. Right? See, when you get a temporary vendor's permit, there should be no evidence of your presence at the site. But if you're selling produce there, why do I see old produce boxes lined up against the wall, discarded mm-hmm. like they've been there for days? Right? Let's go to the caller, and then I can get back to that. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to you, and good morning to Crystal, if you mean.
Good morning.
Yeah, Crystal, good morning. How you do?
Good morning, Seattle and Johnson. You know, I just want to speak to what you said concerning the KPIs that we should be getting to know.
Mm-hmm.
The problem when you begin to demand KPI, or for instance, if we used to do a gap analysis of our country concerning where we are and where we need to be concerning our plantation, our education plantation, our hospital, our streets, our bridges, government buildings, the need to develop social programs, etc. Once you put that on a board and then you look at the income of $3.5 billion per year, or not, we don't make 3.5, we borrow about a billion. What you'll see is that chances are we'll probably need closer to $6 billion per year just to remain in place. So that means every single year we are behind by at least a billion to a billion and a half, not counting the deficit that we also try to fund. What it comes down then to is that we have not grown our economy that is needed to maintain a country of this size, even to pedal in place. And so, and the reason why we won't have this conversation, because then you'll begin to see the lack of the ideas or the framework in that they would have to bring in place for us to scrutinize. Just imagine this. You have a list of all the repairs that has to be done to every plantation school and all the lack of classes that more buildings that we need. And then they put this KPI, K performance indicator, on the wall of how much they have allocated and what they have done. You will begin to see that we are running backwards. And that's why you won't have it. But I think we should demand it, because it isn't that we don't have the tools that is not, that no, not so we don't have it. It isn't that the tools doesn't exist to grow the economy. The problem with growing the economy in this new dispensation we are, it requires you to release the people. And an educated and empowered people, chances are, won't send the people we currently have to parliament.
Listen.
They will, yeah, you say they'll choose from among their peers. It's either these individuals are by intention suppressing us, are they genuinely ignorant of what is required to develop this country?
Nancy Allen, thank you very much. I'm going to throw a third one in there. Or, right? Or alternately, like simultaneously, coincidentally, at the same time, we are living under a foreign policy strategy called more dollars and cents, where we always have more money than we know what to do with, right? So I appreciate the analysis that you gave. It sound, I understand what you're saying, right? At the same time, we could still be doing more with what we have.
I think so, too.
It's a great analysis.
But I understand what he was saying, and you too. But to piggyback off that, too, I think it boils down to a lack of order and structure in a lot of government institutions successively.
Wastage and incompetence versus malfeasance,
so like,
and nefarious,
like,
activity.
A legacy of repeated, and especially the back and forth with this administration in, this administration
review,
out,
stop, cancel. Stop, review, cancel.
There needs to be like a continuous plan. And because of the lack of order of structure, this confidence dissolves. Or the public confidence
Absolutely.
Is like, okay, how are we going to do this? We have all these plans. How we going to do this is hardly addressed. And then when it comes down to the money, like he's saying, it's like we may need more, right? We usually always need more than we actually have. So it gets more blurred there.
All right. Producer, let's go to the caller, and then we're going to get back to Christie Park, because there are too many businesses parking on Christie Park for Christie Park to look like under Tobacco Dove arm. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron, and good morning to your guest, co-host Crystal.
Morning.
Yeah, Aaron, we got two more seats now. Exactly what does that mean? I'm listening to them giving their justification as to why they need more seats. But for me, as a Bahamian and taxpayer, it definitely, all it does is expose us all incompetent. These people are over the years, you know, because right now, Aaron, we need, after 52 plus years, we need more participation in government, not just from the members of parliament and cabinet ministers. Because when you look at how this country is constructed, you have the members of parliament, you have the cabinet minister, you have the public service. Those other executive chairmen, et cetera, they still come under the purview of, or the chairmen come under the purview of the the minister who controls that particular ministry. Mm-hmm. But that isn't all, Aaron. The tools that we need to govern a successful country are the U.S., who is our closest neighbor. You have mayors, you have councilmen, you have municipal government. We call it local government, which they don't really want to free up. But it's obvious that what we are doing is overwhelming the members of Parliament. That's why they are crisscrossing into other areas that they have no business doing. For example, when we elect these legislators, their primary function is to write legislation, policies, and program relative to the area that they're representing. But they're doing all sorts of other things other than really doing their job. And this is why we need more participation in government. But these politicians are guarding these things zealously and not freeing up the authority for us to function properly as a country. What two additional seats will do other than burden our taxpayers? And if they're elected twice, they get pension.
More cars, more perks, mm-hmm. more privilege. Yeah, yep. Less space for the ordinary person.
What is the purpose for that?
I really appreciate what you are saying, right? Let me bring this angle in. I got the article from yesterday's Guardian, Get Up and Vote. No, sorry, Eyewitness News yesterday. Get Up and Vote. Bahamas Christian Council President Bishop Delton Fernandez urging Bahamians to exercise their right to vote, stressing that civic participation is a vital part of national responsibility. And today's Tribune, Fernandez, step aside as MP if you cannot see a better Bahamas. So, you also said we need more people participating in government. I want to make a distinction and say that there's a difference between civic participation and political participation, right? And I think if we had more people engaged in civic activity, we wouldn't need as much political activity, right? This idea, right. And I think it's important because of 73-1A of the Constitution, Article 73-1A, that says that the Governor General must appoint the leader of the party with the most seats as Prime Minister, right? I think it's very right. important. Because when you say political participation, right, you are then telling people that they must participate, they must be a part of a leave you own.
That's what I mean, political.
I think you mean civic. Is the distinction I'm making.
Government, for example, like local government, that would come under what?
That would be civic and not political.
Okay,
but what we've seen, to the point that you already made, what we've seen is that the political class mm-hmm. has kidnapped local government. They've said that it's theirs. That image of Fred Mitchell and Ginger Moxie in the room, I think it was Ginger Moxie, in Grand Bahama with the local election winner, with all the PLP colors everywhere. They teeth in it. They not even because you teeth you do in the night. They taking it right in front of our faces from the civic side and putting it on the political side that because of 73-1A, they insist they own, they define it, they describe it. And if you want to participate in political activity in the country, you must play by their rules. Give them that. Because what we're asking for is civic participation and not political participation. And if we had more, like you saying, because I think that's the point you're making, participation, right? It would shift the authority and the power back to the people, unless...
But they don't really want that, because they really want to control... I mean, it seems as if that they just want to control the public purse at the expense of... Let's say, for example, right now you look at the hospital. The hospital is a mess. You look at the country. The country is dirty. And we are tourists. I mean, I don't know if these people can see what I see, or maybe I'm just being overbearing. But if you pass by Junkanoo Beach, Aaron, it looks like an eyesore.
Hold on. And with all of the people out there obstructing traffic, ignoring what the rules and the laws are, all of them people out there who insist that they own the space and they could be there however they want, but they don't clean it up?
They don't. That's another thing. But this is why I say you need to have more involvement. I mean, you look at, we go away, we travel, we look at these countries, we marvel at how clean they are, mm-hmm. how organized they are. I mean, we have things, the country that seems like it collapsed. I believe we had more structure. I wasn't around, but I believe we had more structure under the white minority rule versus what we get from majority rule. The country just is in shambles. For me, that's how it appears to be when I travel.
Thank you very much. Let me sort of restate that, because I don't see that as a racial statement. I'm not seeing what you're saying as a racial statement. I see it as we achieved majority rule and we transitioned to a new sort of type of governance. We transitioned with the same system. We didn't change it, right? And so I think there is a marked difference between how the country operated at that time and how it operates now. But it's not about race per se.
No,
it's about
race.
Right. It's about the structure.
For a second, I'll say what we did. If we didn't change it, we bastardized everything.
Yeah.
That's the better word. We bastardized everything and diluted down to basically almost nothing to what we have now.
I got you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because here's a point I want to make.
Yeah.
Here's a point I want to make. You got this story.
He said a lot.
Is that a new caller?
But
Okay. I just want to say quickly, and then we could get into that. So we got the announcement today in the paper. The boundaries are about to be changed. I say it like that because we have a supermajority, and what can the minority do? What can the opposition do to stop the bill, right? All of these changes, right? All of these changes, but guess what? I have one question to ask. The people of Mayaguana wasn't important before this port. Is it the port that makes them important now? It's a big story in the paper today, Governor Port of Mayaguana, right? The OPP announced last night the government entered into a PPP with Global Lead Consulting Group Limited, a Bahamian company, to advance the port at Mayaguana, which it described as, quote, a major maritime and logistics project intended to strengthen economic activity in Mayaguana and across the southeast Bahamas, close quotes. For whom? Who for? Right? Same question. Who you named the constituency for? Who made the decision? Did you get the residents come up with a name? Who for? Because y'all, let's prep the caller producer. Y'all don't care about Mayaguana? Y'all don't care about Mayaguana. I could say that with all my heart. So is it the port that now makes Mayaguana important? Producer, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, with this Boundaries Commission, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Boundaries Commission makes a decision in the Bahamas, the only thing we're concerned with, people are concerned that they're concerned with, is who's going to win the seat. Not about the numbers. You know what I mean? The equity.
Yeah.
And number of people in the seat.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? That's what's important. Other than that, it's corruption. You are robbing your citizens of the power of their vote.
Yeah.
So when you talk about this new seat in Mayaguana, which is already too rich.
No, no new
the
seat.
The government's already too small.
No, there's no new seat in Mayaguana. The two new seats are going to be one called St. James in the Western District of New Providence, and they taken from Killarney, Golden Shore, Golden Isles, Southern Shores. And I think they said Carmichael, maybe?
Okay. Look what that does. That still doesn't deal with the equity.
I got
the
you.
Inequity is in them. They go on the seats in them other seats.
Yeah.
The equity plus some equity. I
want to know the rationale. I want to know the rationale for making Bimini and the Berry Islands their own seat.
That's what I'm saying. That's no equity. And that's
because if,
I mean.
If you do
I mean,
that.
People vote, bring an MP to power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bring a member of parliament. What's gonna determine who's the government? As to my seat, you know, and me and my constituency got 3,000 voters. Come on, man! And they only got 1,000 voters. That's not democracy.
It's not making any sense. It makes
that's
political
not
sense.
Democracy.
It makes political sense, but I don't know if it makes good for good governance.
It's not democratic sense. You see. That's against the democracy. See when the commission meet, they can meet to make things political, and their advantage in that the shape of it, not the numbers in the seats, the shape.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me?
Mm-hmm. Boy, look here.
And then we accept that. people in civil Bahamas accept that because they are part of that system, they are part of the political system. They are the government, too. The, you know what I mean? The media is the government. The, you know, everybody's mm-hmm. in the rich man. They the government because they run the government. The oligarchs, who run it?
The political class and the merchant class seem to have a stranglehold
right.
on governance in the country.
You see, okay, let's you talk about a port and they're going up this and that, and they go with a PPP. They going to this PPP, like, where this, and then they say, oh, it's a behemoth group. What does that make a difference? A PPP is a PPP.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. In other words, it privatizes, it's about privatizing assets, a port. Come on, taxpayers' money's going to contribute to in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I mean, it's all going to be taxpayer money. Who else? Well, it's money. It could be taxpayers' money.
So then, and then that's then being, you know.
Or not. Yeah.
Or not.
There you go.
See, this is the thing we had to address. PPP, PPP. That's foolishness. That's oligarchy. That ain't, you know?
I mean, I just wanted to know who put the port in important, because now Mayor Gwanah people important. I mean, Mayor Gwanah important. I don't even want to people.
It's supposed to
thank
provide
you, caller.
To create 2,000 full-time jobs. And this is relatively positive, right? So, but they still didn't say, in this article, the government did not indicate how much the project would cost, but said it would create 2,000 full-time jobs.
Like, yeah.
You know, like there's something
There's something missing.
There's
a complete lack of info.
It goes back to what I said about confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, we know that around the world, people are struggling to get the youth vote.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from working with youth and communicating with youth regularly, we need to work on that, getting that young voter confidence. And mm-hmm. like the caller before this caller said, you know, he described the lack of order and structure. But that's a consequence of, all of this that I'm talking about, this is the confidence and everything, that is a consequence of the lack of structure, transparency.
And integrity. Yeah. Producer, I'm going to read some text, and then we got to go to a break, right? We can read some text and then go to a break. Here's the text. People need representation, hence the seats. Is it really that difficult? The Western area has grown. Everyone knows that. Dear texter, I could be honest with you. If we were in sixth grade, I would give you an A+ for this text.
Did we say in the story, did they say how many people were in the, or is that going to come later on? After they do like more assessments, because did they say how many people? Because part of this document, right?
Yeah.
According to this, what's the
report of Constituencies Commission, House of Assembly, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
According to that, it should be divided, like one of the callers mentioned, based on the number of people in the constituency. And if this person says the area has grown,
right? But I think there's no limit to the number of constituents. Constituencies we can have. I don't think there is a legal limit to the number of residents in a constituency, but they just try to achieve parity.
And also, I want to know, when was the last time we upped the number of constituencies in the House of Assembly? I'm just curious. I think a couple
elections ago.
Okay.
So
what was it before? It was.
I can't remember.
Okay.
Off the top.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I can't remember off the top. I want to say whoever shared this document, thank you for sharing it. I hope you don't get into any trouble for sharing off on Crooked Island since 3 p.m. yesterday. We can't catch a break. Yeah, I mean, Aaron, please visit Crooked Island. They treat us like the redheaded stepchild. Crooked Island, Acklands, and Longkey need help badly. We've been neglected. Road work not completed in almost 5 years. BTC is almost non-existent, and BPL has major issues, especially on Crooked Island. We need help. No, I know. I know. I was working in Andrus in 2003, and I had to get out of there, not because the people weren't beautiful. It's not welcoming. The place is just beautiful. But the lack of proper infrastructure for modern-day people is astounding. And we're talking about 22 years later, and I know. Yeah. I know the Mayor Gwanah airport is still flood. We know. I don't know how one person... I mean, what I can tell you all now is you got to organize. Mm-hmm. You have to organize civically and not politically. You got to meet the power of politics with the power of civic participation. Here's another text. And I have this in my notes, Texter. Aaron, yesterday two people died on Eleuthera because they were trying to avoid potholes and they crashed head-on into other people trying to avoid potholes. Mm. This is a shame because the MP for that area is actually the Minister of Works. You would think he'd looked after his own constituency. What do you think about that? Okay, so this is a bit of a nuanced one here, right? Because the MP cannot prioritize his constituency. He can't. Mm. Prioritize the constituency that he represents over other constituencies. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that he is not liable. That does not mean that he doesn't have responsibility to bear. I think the entire political class, because this is across administrations, people. I'm 49. Yeah. We are old enough for sure now to see the tit for tat. In fact, mm-hmm. I got a quote.
And you mentioned Eleuthera. Let's not forget Eleuthera. Light, power, with electricity and water and infrastructure, a mm-hmm. big problem.
Y'all look at the people.
And I go there every year, so I know. Yeah. I experience the blackouts when I'm on vacation.
I got you. The people are telling you clearly what they into. Yeah. Mikhail Barnaby spent the majority of his time that he's supposed to represent the people and the agencies he operates. He spent the time talking about how the UBP and the FNM are evil. The UBP evil. That's what he did. I got Cooper here. I got you, producer. We did, you didn't play in tit for tat. Cooper, however, fired back, pointing to the Minister administration for failing to name concerns while in office. Sir, that's why I will not call you Deputy Prime Minister. You're supposed to be a statesman. This tit for tat, while the people in Ragged Island have no power, while the people in Eleuthera are dying because of the lack of proper... The people in Exuma have to fly to Nassau for proper health care. And you talking about the Minister administration didn't do it? We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We're back. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is On the Clock with Aaron Green. That's my government name. Here we go. Another text. Local government and the Freedom of Information Act go hand in hand, but we'll never see any of it because the emperor has no clothes on. We're broken. They're incompetent and corrupt.
It would inspire voter confidence, though.
Yeah.
Confidence.
It would do. All right. So here are some of the headlines from yesterday's publication, yesterday's news. Minnis, I'm not a runner. Former Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis says he will run in Killarney despite the addition of the new St. James constituency in Western New Providence. Next story, that was from The Guardian. Next story from Eyewitness News, I'm running. Former Bamboo Town Member of Parliament Renwood Bell says he intends to contest the seat again despite not receiving the FNM nomination. The FNM instead selected its chairman, Dr. Dwayne Sands, to run in Bamboo Town following lobbying efforts by Wells for the party's nod. Wells also declined to comment on speculation surrounding a possible political partnership with former PM Hubert Minnis, who was likewise denied an FNM nomination. In the voice clip, they ask, Swagger, bring what I always bring. What is that, Mr. Wells? What is that complete and total disorder on the road? That's what you're bringing back to us? LOI, do believe we've had enough of that. LOI, don't think this is your time. I mean, I could be honest with you. Run if you want to run. It's not my place to tell you whether to run or not. It's my place to crack jokes when you decide, when you make your decision. Another story, that ship has sailed. Opposition leader Pintard responded to Wells, who has expressed his interest in running. We'll be ready, Nassau. I think that's The Guardian. Maybe it's not The Guardian. 7th of January, 2026. Coalition of Independence leader Lincoln Bain says the party intends to announce its four remaining candidates, including those for new constituencies, St. James and Bimini and Barrie Islands, in short order. Okay, just in. Prominent attorney Owen Wells has reportedly been approached to carry the PLP torch in the banner in the newly created St. James constituency. Again, that headline, we did, you didn't, Eyewitness News. A member of the Boundaries Commission, Chester Cooper, is pushing back against criticism from Michael Pintard, who claims the report fails to adequately address voter parity. Pintard urges that such as Mike Yale and Marco City were left unchanged, describing the report as a missed opportunity. Well, I mean, boy.
You can see he has interest there, yeah. Right?
Here's a text. Please note that we do not see Wells win in any election in Bamboo Town under no party. He is ditto. He's looking for cats to help and himself not.
Did he not win before? No.
There was a lot of typos in. No, that's not what they were saying. Oh. There's a lot of typos in there. He's saying I don't think Wells will win under any banner, independent or whatnot. Producer, prep that caller quickly. Here we go. Even Kingsley Smith is in the conversation. But here's the story. Former PLP Senator Eyes nomination. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green, morning to you and your guests.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
I heard somebody said that Mr. Pintard said the ship is out the gate.
Yeah, the ship has sailed.
The ship has sailed.
Yeah.
And then it was a full stop and they didn't redirect.
Oh, that was okay. So opposition leader Michael Pintard responded to former MP Renwood Wells, who has expressed his interest in running in the Bamboo Town constituency, even after the party nominated former Cabinet Minister Dwayne Sands as its cabinet. Pintard was concerned that Wells could be a spoiler for the FNM in Bamboo Town in the upcoming general election. That's what I pulled from.
And Mr. Pintard said the ship has sailed.
Yeah, they put Sands got the spoil.
And that ship will sink.
I thought you could say get hit with the wave.
I guarantee you that. That will sing. The wave to wife for that.
I got you.
The wave to wife for that.
I and forget you're a Bamboo Wells, Town man.
If Mr. Wells do run in Bamboo Town,
mm-hmm.
he would. If Mr. Wells get 100 votes in Bamboo Town,
uh-huh.
98 of them would be FNM.
Okay.
The PLP is finished with Wells from he crossed the floor the first time. So he has no traction with the PLP.
I got
if
you.
If he were to hurt anybody in the race, it would be the FNM candidate.
But listen,
and that's designed because of Mr. Minnis. That is designed to help beat the chairman of the FNM.
I got you. So let me ask you a question. I being mischievous, because when you come on and talk, you talk about Bamboo Town. That's your sphere, right? But I will
yes,
be
sir.
Mischievous.
Yes,
this
sir.
Article, former PLP Senator Eyes nomination, former Senator Robin Lyne said yesterday that she has informed the party of her interest in running in the upcoming general election. Now, she in this article, she says, quote, I've been asked and propositioned, but I've always felt as though there were other things that I needed to lend my attention to. I imagine she's talking about the past, right?
But
did she do the candidates training?
To you, Ms. Green.
Yeah.
And to all of the constituents of Bamboo Town that is listening.
Mm-hmm.
Let not your...
Okay.
The member of parliament for Bamboo Town is Miss Patricia DeVoe. And until anything different, the member of parliament and the next candidate will be Miss Patricia DeVoe.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that message, endorsed. Producer, we got 30 seconds for this last caller. Oh, caller, I am so sorry. There we go. Caller, you got 50. Oh, I tried, caller. I tried. You see how we out of time. It's my bad. We're out of time. A text here says, Wells is not fit for public service, but he is not a people's person. Bamboo Town have a beating for Wells. I don't like your sort of rhetoric, your gang war-like rhetoric, but I appreciate the sentiment. Thank you, Uncle Bamboo Town. Thank you for letting me be mischievous just now. Y'all pick up a copy of today's Nassau Guardian, Boundaries Report Tabled. Get a copy. Right? Get a copy every day. It's obituaries day, so you know people are buying, but get a copy because they're going to sell out fast. You need this in your hands, people. You guys, have a great day. More importantly, stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.